All right, baby. 9 o'clock. Good morning to you. It is the Coop and Tobin Show. Heading up today into the mid-30s.
A little bit of rain and snow this morning, turning to some snow showers this afternoon. We do have a winter weather advisory tonight, 7 p.m. until 4 o'clock tomorrow, expecting some snow, sleet, and freezing rain. Pine Plain School District is closed today as well at Taconic Hills. Taconic Hills will also be closed, we know that already, for tomorrow. And your WPDH traffic and weather update brought to you by BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Indeed so. Our next guest is Scott from Scott's Pizza Tours. He throws people on a bus, and they go down to Manhattan, and a little bit of Brooklyn, too, right? You do Coney Island, you said?
Yeah, we actually do Manhattan, Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx.
This is a pretty new thing. Did you think of this?
Yeah. It's been about 8 months that I've been running the tours.
Now, normally, they say in American business, you find a need and fill it, be it a goods or service.
Mm-hmm.
You come up with something where there's absolutely no need whatsoever.
There's always a need for pizza.
Yeah, there's
come on.
A big need, though. Everybody's always looking for
this. But there's no need to go to like 7 or 8 places in one day on a bus. But the guy's
where we disagree.
But he thought about it. No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm not putting you down or even making you defensive. No, I'm saying.
Oh, you're making him defensive.
You are.
I'm saying there was no need for this, but he's very successful.
But you know what Scott said?
It's a great idea.
He's created demand.
The people that come on your tours most likely are who?
They're mostly locals.
They're not even the tourists.
Because you know what it is? They want to settle it in their minds.
Yeah.
Because New York City has such a rep for pizza, and no matter and I'm sure you know this, Scott. If you go to different places in New York City, they're going to tell you different places that say they have the best pie.
Sure.
Yeah, everybody's got the best
pie.
Everybody's got the best pie.
Yeah. And you can always find something who quote, hey, that's the best pie over there.
Yeah.
Ching Tao's, he's got the best pie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always going to be somebody.
Well, also, every New Yorker lives across the street from the best pizzeria in New York.
Right.
You were saying something. How many pizzerias are there in New York City?
There are somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's a lot of pizzerias. I mean, the whole U.S., maybe about 69,000 pizzerias.
69,000 pizzerias.
Yeah.
So how many pizzas do we sell in this country in the course of a year?
Oh, that's a really good question. Every second, we're eating about 350 slices. The average American will eat about 52 pounds a year.
Hmm.
Well, Coop's getting his fair share.
52 slices a week. Yeah, a year.
Oh, I'm taking. Yeah, I got you. I got you covered.
I got you back.
I got you back on that, Craig. Don't you worry.
I already had 2 this morning. So,
good. Then we're on a good start.
Yeah.
Now you brought 4 pies today.
Yeah.
And I loved it because he was like a pizza sommelier.
Mm-hmm.
As he stood there trying to kind of guide us through.
Yeah. He had the towel over his forearm.
Yeah. He was kind of walking us through the whole thing. Now you said like this is a coal oven. This is a explain, what's the difference
here? Oh, there's a huge difference. Well, basically, New York-style pizza really all started with these coal-burning brick ovens. And you guys have probably had brick oven pizza before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but do you know if they've been wood-fired or coal-fired or
been
gas?
In the kitchen.
No, I do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what happens on my tour is I take you into the kitchen, and you look at the oven, and we pick up the piece of coal, and you see how it burns, where the heat's coming from. Usually coal-burning brick oven pizzerias will burn at about 900 degrees.
Okay. 2 minutes of pizza cooked for, that's it.
Patsy's up in Harlem. I brought one pie from Patsy's up in Harlem, the original Patsy's, opened in 1933 with a coal-fired brick oven. It's 1,000 degrees in that oven, and the pizza comes out after about 2 minutes.
Is that amazing?
From raw?
Yeah, I mean, they don't. Yeah, nothing's pre-cooked.
So
they
could do some crazy volume up there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they only bake 2 pies at a time because this oven, even though it's about maybe 8 by 10 feet, it's got hot spots. It's got 2 hot spots.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, every time they bake pizza, it's in those 2 hot spots. So you look inside their oven. And if you want to come with me, I'll show you. They've got 2 really dark spots inside that brick oven.
Uh-huh.
And that's where all the pizzas are baked.
Now, Barack Obama wants to get rid of coal.
He wants to keep the coal-burning pizzerias, though. You know, Barack outspent McCain in pizza for his staff.
Oh, yeah?
and let me tell you, that probably led to the outcome.
Well, that was always one of the big tip-offs during the Clinton administration when there were, the press was speculating as to whether there were international crises going on and stuff like that, because the pizza volume in the White House would go way up.
Yeah, because they're working late nights, so they order.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they would order tons of pizza. And there were actually reporters who tracked that. And use that as a tip when something was going on.
Pizza always has political implications. I mean, in New York alone...
When things were mellow, the cigar consumption would go. There's plenty of time on their hands.
Yeah, on their hands.
What were you saying, Scott?
I was just saying how in New York, the subway price has always been linked to the price of a slice of pizza. Every time a pizza slice price goes up, the subway follows. And actually, it's been going up lately. And, you know, a few months back when they upped it, that was right after the slice price went up to $2.50, and now slices are hard to find below $2.75 a slice.
Now, so that's pretty much a standard in the city?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, but a year ago, wasn't there a spike in all the ingredients, flour especially?
Yeah, there was a huge flour crisis. So all the flour went up from about, I think it was maybe $12 a bag to somewhere like $38 a bag of flour.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so really big changes, and that's why the slice prices went up. But to this day, you can get one slice at Patsy's Pizzeria in Harlem for $1.75.
And we're talking to Scott from Scott's Pizza Tours. And is this number right, the 800-979?
Yeah, that's the ticket number. That's the ticket number.
Or you go to scottspizzatours.com. Mm-hmm.
Where do people jump on the bus?
We jump on the bus in Soho, right outside of Lombardi's Pizzeria, the first pizzeria in the country.
Oh, the first pizza in the country.
Yeah, it's the first licensed pizzeria in the country, licensed in 1905. We start there. That's where we get to see how the oven works. We get to taste a pizza that only spends about 4 minutes inside the oven. Fresh mozzarella, fresh tomato sauce, basil. Unbelievable. I'm hungry right now.
Mm. Now, I have a question for you. Do you make pizza? Are you any good?
I don't make pizza. Why do I need to make pizza when I visit all the best pizza makers?
I'm wondering, though, if this is like some guy here that, you know, he might be like, you know, okay.
Sniffing his way around the kitchen, checking out the ingredients.
Trying to steal some secrets and stuff.
No, I have no intention of opening a pizzeria ever. This is really, I love watching people who know how to make pizza. For me to invest the time in learning how to make pizza well, it's just more than I'm ready for. I like to watch other people make it, and I like to eat it.
I want to send you to a place right up here. When we get off the air, I'll take you up there.
He'll give you directions.
I'm there. You want to go?
Oh, it's a mile. Dude, salad pizza? It's two Armenian guys. Now, that's okay, right? You don't have to be Italian, do you?
No, in fact, there are a lot of Armenian guys in New York and in Hoboken, New Jersey, making pizza. Some
any,
of the best in Hoboken is Armenian.
Anybody on your tour kosher?
No, nobody's kosher.
No kosher pizzerias?
None.
Okay. Just asking.
Yeah, no, none of them yet.
You take them out to touch your nipples?
Yeah, take them out to touch your nipples. Naples.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Naples.
Oh. Naples, my bad. I'm sorry.
You had me confused with another establishment in the area.
It is, yeah. They give you the pizza through a little hole in a wall.
No, those guys are great up there. So now, you started this thing. You started the tour.
Yeah.
All right. How's your family react? You said, Mom, Dad? Because you seem like a pretty intelligent guy. College educated?
I've tricked you. Yeah, college educated.
Where'd you do?
Where'd you go?
I went to Syracuse. I have a degree in communications.
Oh, so you went to the Newhouse School.
I did. I studied radio.
The best communications school in the country. And you said, so your parents, and it's what, about a $40,000, $50,000 a year school, isn't it?
Yeah. Still paying for another 25 years.
And what did you do? You went and bought a school bus for yourself? Is it your bus?
No. I rent the bus from a school bus company. There's a company in Brooklyn. I actually went around to four or five different school bus companies to find the best bus that was cleanest and nicest and had the most leg room, most luxurious.
Yes.
And I found it in Brooklyn in Red Hook. And I rent their bus. I got the same bus, same driver every week. I love the driver, Ronnie Palmer. He's always there. He's our driver.
How many runs do you do in a week's time?
We do one run a week on the bus. We do every Sunday is our only tour, and every Sunday we change up our stops. But people can also take a walking tour during the week. I do Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Right.
It's a different tour. It's a walking tour of Soho and the West Village.
Now, considering the people that you consort with on these pizza tours, have you been asked for any kind of protection money?
No.
No. Okay. Anybody trying to get on the pizza tour be one of the stops, and they want to maybe bump off another person on the stop?
It hasn't happened yet, and I hope it doesn't happen.
You hope it doesn't happen?
I would imagine that you are so set up for some
kickbacks,
payoff
all kinds of stuff,
I get a lot of calls from places, but I have a strict policy on the tour that I always take you to places that I've gone to and checked out without them knowing that I'm there.
Yeah.
Right.
And I always buy the pizza. Nobody's paying me to be on the tour. I selected these places because I want to take people there.
Right.
Has nothing to do with them offering.
But you must give them a call from the bus saying, because you can't just show up with 25 people.
No, these places have all agreed to it in general, and then I call them a week ahead. And I say, hey, I want to come on Sunday. And they say, no, we've got a party of 25. You can't do it. Or, yeah, come on by. Then when I'm on the bus, I say I'm 20 minutes out. Get ready to put those things in the oven, then we show up, and there's the pizza. Right,
Grimaldi's. Yes. Every time I always hear about Grimaldi's, has the best pizza in the city.
I heard somebody on your show talking about Grimaldi's earlier today.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's great pizza. It's great pizza. It's a coal-fired brick oven pizzeria located right under the Brooklyn Bridge, one of the best views in New York City, and it's right next to the Brooklyn Ice Cream Factory. So Grimaldi's actually was opened by the nephew of Patsy Lancieri, who opened Patsy's, the place in Harlem that you guys ate a slice from this morning.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's a little relationship happening.
Are they on the tour at all? Do you go
Grimaldi's
there on the tour?
Is not on the tour because in Brooklyn, I take people all the way down to Totono's in Coney Island, which is the oldest family-run, single-location pizzeria in the country. It opened in 1924, and it's currently run by the granddaughter of the guy who opened it.
So you go to the oldest one, then you go to the oldest continuously family-owned one.
Well, we
so
go to
try
Satoru's.
To give a little extra sort of...
Well, it's a lot of history, also because people take my tour not because they just want to ride around and eat pizza all day. They want me to take them where they wouldn't have gone, you know, by their own means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I take them down to Coney Island because it's a haul for anybody.
Right.
So just hop on my bus and I'll talk to you the whole time about pizza and you won't even know you're driving.
Talking to Scott from Scott's Pizza Tours. The website is scottspizzatours.com. How many places did you go to select all your finalists?
About 30 or 35 places.
Now these were all places that... you'd been to in the past, you know, before you put them on the tour, obviously.
I've been to most of them, but a couple of them I'd gotten calls or emails. Actually, when the tour first started, I had some press, and people responded to that press by telling me that I've missed the best pizzeria in the country. And for the most part, I go to all those pizzerias that people suggest, you know, and I'll show up and I'll try the pizza, and then I'll go back a week or two later. And if it's still great and it fits 24 people that I can bring uh-huh. with a bus, mm-hmm. then, yeah, I'll talk to the owner and I'll say, hey, I run this tour. I just want 24 seats. It's all I need.
Were you inspired at all by Kenny Kramer from Seinfeld?
No.
No?
Not at all.
Tell the truth.
Not at all.
Tell the truth.
Okay, maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little.
Yeah, I got to get careful because he'll sue you. I thought of
he's got to make money, you know?
Nunzio.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Got to talk to a guy named Nunzio about pizza, right? Maybe try that's the other
right. ear. Hey, listen, we've had this heated debate, this big go-around on how to reheat pizza at home. What's this guy's suggestion?
He says see them light up like a Christmas tree.
That's right, because we get mad because you go to the pizzeria, and the pizza is out, it's under glass,
yeah.
and they say, yeah, give me that slice there. They put it in, it tastes like brand new.
Nunzio has his own way of doing it, too, which is something I've never heard of.
I'd love to hear it.
So, Nunzio, tell Scott first your way, and then he'll tell you his.
All right, what you want to do is you take a slice or two, put them on a plate, you put them in the microwave for a minute, minute and a half. What you're doing is you're knocking the chill off the top. You're starting to heat the top of cheese. Then what you do is you got a frying pan that's been heated, preheated. You put the pizza back in the frying pan, or into the frying pan. This way you crisp up the bottom. And it's almost like you're getting it out of the oven without turning on a whole oven to do the same thing.
Yeah, I really like that concept. I like the frying pan part, and that's my suggestion. But the mistake is the microwave. Microwaves work by agitating water molecules. And if you agitate the water molecules in the cheese and in the sauce, you're also agitating those molecules in the crust, which is going to soften your crust. The better thing to do, either leave your pie out on the counter overnight if you know you're going to eat it the next day, or just let it come to room temperature. Then you heat up your frying pan. Then you throw it down. You put your plate that you're going to use to eat the pizza over the top of the frying pan for about the last minute, and then you're done. The top is melted, the bottom is crisp. It mimics a brick oven, which is extremely hot on the bricks.
The microwave also, it kills the taste of the cheese. It blands out the cheese like crazy.
Microwave and pizza is the worst.
Yeah, it is.
Mm. Yeah, it's. But I really like the idea of splitting it between microwave and frying pan. You've got a really great. I mean, this is great work.
Stouffer says you do that for French bread pizza. The quick method, you put it in there.
I told you guys.
Look at the respect.
Nunzio's like, I told yous.
You. Nunzio's got it. You guys were making fun of me in the beginning.
Nunzio, we weren't making fun. It was done with love.
I like it. I like his idea.
We were just teasing, Nunz.
I know you guys love me, and I love you, too.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
All right, Scott. So you order a pizza in the evening.
Yes.
You leave it in the cardboard box overnight, next morning, next afternoon. When do you have to throw that out? When does it start tasting cardboardish? What's that cutoff?
Well, okay. I choose to never put pizza in a cardboard box. I only did it for you guys today because I had to. My car, Katie couldn't support holding four pies at one time.
Okay.
So you wouldn't put them in a cardboard box?
No, here's the problem. Pie comes out of the oven, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a 900-degree oven like Lombardi's and like Patsy's and like John's of Bleecker Street that I brought you guys.
And paper burns at 451 degrees.
Well, it's a hot oven, so you've got all this moisture held in by the cheese, right?
Yeah.
So you pull it out of the oven, all of a sudden moisture starts pouring out. You put that in a cardboard box and close the lid, you're steaming the crust of that pizza. It's gonna turn into filth. That's why, you know, they have a little piece of wax paper between the cardboard and the pizza.
Yeah.
It's so that it doesn't really do very much, but it's trying to protect your pizza from tasting like cardboard.
Okay.
It doesn't do the job. The best time to eat pizza is when it comes right out of the oven. Have it in this cardboard box. That's why, actually, earlier there was a guy talking about Grimaldi's and they put it in a bag.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. They actually put it in this wax line. They put it in this wax line bag.
They're onto something.
No, it's absolutely true. They put it in a wax line bag because it has a vent on the side that allows the steam to escape. So you're not steaming your crust of your pizza. The wax-lined bag is they do that only at Grimaldi's. It's the only place I've ever seen it.
Yeah, okay. I read an interview years ago with Orville Redenbacher.
Great
and
man.
he said that what he was going to do, he figured out that the key to success in life was to find one thing and become an expert on it. And define yourself with your expertise on that one thing. And he chose popcorn. But you, my friend, are the Orville Redenbacher of pizza.
Can I put that on my resume for when this goes sour?
It really is. I mean, it is amazing to watch, you know, to just listen to you, the depth of knowledge you have about this.
Yep.
Now, when you started doing the tours, did you say, okay, now I've really got to hit the books now?
Yeah, what happened was it all started just over a year ago. I threw a birthday party for myself. I invited all my friends. I said, we're going to rent a party bus. We're going to drive around New York and eat pizza all day long. And they all did it. And by the end, they had such a great time that they said, you've got to really quit your job and go for it. So I quit my job. And I started doing research.
What were you doing with your Syracuse degree?
I was an assistant events coordinator for a municipality in New Jersey. So I was working in City Hall with City Hall benefits and a paycheck.
You're running town rec? What's the deal?
Yeah, no, I was doing audio for live events and running concerts that they were doing, street fairs, movies.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. But, you know, pizza, I was spending time there that I could have been eating pizza. So, yeah, I became a licensed New York City tour guide. I started researching at the New York Historical Society and at the library, going to pizzerias, spending time, looking through their old records, going to oven factories. I'm actually going to Italy next month to do some research in Naples.
when they license you.
Yeah.
When they license you as the tour guide guy, mm-hmm. Do they give you a test or is it just a permit?
It's a 150-question test that allows me to get this little license over here. It's 150 questions about all of New York City, from the transportation to what museums have to ethnic foods and different areas and celebrations. It's
even
everything.
If you're going to be specific to pizza places, they want you to know.
This is the same
the
license, that, you know, those double-decker tour buses?
Yeah.
Same
yeah.
license.
Okay.
There's no, I mean, I wanted to do pizza. I had to cram all this other stuff into my head.
But you don't use it, right? You don't, like, I think you were saying before, this is the Empire State Building.
I don't point out buildings like that, but it's really great to know that information because I get some tourists on the tour.
Right.
And when I do, they want to know things, and I've got to be there for them. And we do such a huge distance on the tour that I've got to be able to point out, oh, this is the Triborough Bridge.
Yeah.
This is what this
mm-hmm.
did geographically to the, you know,
right.
and socially to the area. So it's really good. And I take other tours so I can learn more about the city.
The pizzas that you brought are pretty much straight ahead slices. Now, what do you like?
I would never call them straight ahead.
Well, you know what I'm saying, but they're not exotic. It's not pineapple. And
you're talking about toppings.
Yeah,
yes.
Crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole different category. He's got a consultant for that.
Did you ever hear like a certain preparation and you're like, this cannot possibly be good, but you ended up being blown away by it?
I'm a big fan of Hawaiian pizza.
Yeah, pineapple.
That was something that I wasn't sure of at first, but I have had a pizza that I thought was going to be really interesting and turned out to be not at all my style,
mm-hmm.
and that was smoked salmon, sour cream, caviar, and mint leaves.
Ugh.
Not good. Not good.
Tomato sauce or no?
No sauce.
Okay.
But it was okay. I was judging a pizza competition at the Las Vegas International Pizza Expo a couple years ago.
What's the most expensive pizza you've ever seen?
There's a $1,000 pizza at a place in New York City.
Yeah.
And it's got like gold and diamond.
Right,
and
right.
It's got gold in the pizza?
Gold flakes,
yeah, it's
right?
got little
yeah.
gold flakes yeah. on it and caviar and lobster. Yeah. And who cares? Real pizza is affordable. You know, it's a food that's meant for
well, it's
for
the food of the common
classics.
Man.
Exactly. If it's $1,000, I don't want any part of it.
Hey, Pete, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey,
what's this reheating pizza at home crap? I mean, diehard Italians eat it cold, even straight out of the fridge.
Oh, God.
I love it cold.
I don't. I'm not a...
The beauty of pizza is you can do with it whatever you want. So once you tell somebody they can't do something, that's when you're violating the code. It's a code of pizza, because pizza, if you want to be strict about it, pizza doesn't have tomato sauce on it. Pizza didn't enter Italian cuisine until the 18th century.
And when it comes to the tomato sauce, the key is for it not to be too acidic, because they could have a really good crust, but if the sauce is too acidic, it makes for a terrible pizza.
As long as you've got balance.
We never called it sauce, it's always gravy.
Yeah.
Let's not even get into that again.
Well, yeah. Scott was saying something about the sauce on one of, was it Patsy's?
Probably Lombardi's.
Lombardi's.
Most of these pizzerias in New York, they'll just use a canned Italian tomato and put very few additives to it. Mm-hmm. They're not dousing it with oregano, salt, just a little bit of pepper, and it's just crushed tomatoes. And the key is the type of tomato, and they're from a region in Italy, this San Marzano.
Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And they're these amazing tomatoes that are grown in the soil that is treated with the volcanic ash of Mount Vesuvius. It's natural treatment in the soil, and it just really produces these great, great tomatoes.
Yeah. Plum I like the sauce a little bit sweet because, I mean, the cheese is salty.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that nice balance there. You're kicking. But if I get a place with the sauce, and he just mentioned it, if the sauce is a little bit bitter, I'm turned off.
I'm turned off big time.
What about the places that put the sauce on top of the cheese?
Oh, there are a lot of places that do that. And actually, it's really great because it reduces slippage. When you hold up your pizza from by the crust, you're not going to get all that slippage because the cheese is holding on to the crust.
Is that the technical term, or is that something you've coined?
I learned it was in college. It's called slippage. Cheesification.
A subtest set of Gravity 101.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you're developing your own vernacular, your own code.
There is a pizza code. It's not mine at all. There is an incredible subculture of pizza freaks centered in New York City. There's a great website called Slice that talks all about these little pizza terminology, you know, like calling the crust pizza bones and, you know, all these little things that, little quirks that we talk about on the tour.
Okay, the crust on a round pie, you save it up and eat them all at once or you eat it per slice?
That's a great question. Per slice.
Really?
Yeah, I save all those crusts.
I save them up and I eat them all the next time.
Who's ever they were.
I knew one crazy bastard, right? Ooh. What this guy would do was eat the slice. And then when he started his second slice, he would alternate between the first crust and the second slice.
That's a crazy bastard.
He's getting it all going
that
on together.
That is a crazy bastard.
Am I wrong?
He's a crazy bastard.
He sounds insane. No, I get all this. I tell you, this is. I got to let you guys in on a little secret. When we go to our first stop, which is Lombardi's in Soho, everybody is consuming their first slice, and they're so hungry. They're ready for it. I've been talking about history for like 20 minutes, and finally they get the slice, and I just watch how they eat the pizza. I sound crazy, but I watch. And some of them alternate bites between crust and the tip of the
That's
pizza.
What I'm saying.
Some of them do it fork and knife. Some of them roll it up. Some of them will take in their fork a little bit of the crust and a little bit of the front. It's amazing.
I'm a folder.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm a folder.
I usually stay flat, and then halfway through I fold it so I can get some of the grease into the crust and moisten it a little bit.
That's a nice technique. I like that.
Now, did you just always have this technique, or did you try different techniques and then arrive at this?
I modified the technique over
years. No, I'm wondering, because I just want to know if you're a guy who's constantly exploring new ways, or if you came in there with a preconceived notion how to eat your pizza, and that's how you eat it.
No, not at all.
When you saw that person roll that pizza up, did you say, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try rolling that pizza.
Actually, I used to be a roller. My favorite pizzeria.
Well, you roll it from the crust forward.
Well, it depends on... Listen, guys, you can't just put a blanket phrase on anything. My favorite pizzeria, Pizza House in Cranford, New Jersey, where I grew up, has really thin slices that are really salty. And what I do is best. They taste best when you take it from the crust and you roll it toward the tip and you eat it like a little burrito.
I've never seen that.
Yeah, a little unorthodox, but trust me, it's the way to go. Because you're going to moisten that crust with all the sauce and all the oil from the cheese. Yeah. It's great.
That sounds good. And then you do get the crust and the other ingredients at the same time.
Yeah, you're eating it all in one bite.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey there. How are you doing?
What's up?
I just had a question. Where I went to school up in upstate Oneonta, and a big thing up there is cold cheese on pizza.
Yes.
And I've never seen it anywhere in Dutchess or Westchester where I grew up.
Yeah, I'm from Albany. I'm from Albany, and we used to always do that. We used to always put cold cheese on top of the slice.
Cold?
And I've never had it anywhere else
either. Already have cheese on it?
It's already got cheese, and then you dump a bunch of cold cheese on top.
Mozzarella or Parmesan.
Mozz.
Yep, the shredded mozzarella right on top.
Yeah. They do that a lot up there.
I've never heard of this. This is great.
I don't know about that.
It's raw. That's just raw pizza.
Here's another thing. If you're a person who saves up the crusts till the very end, they're dunkable.
What do you dunk them in?
You dunk them in
blue
beer.
Cheese.
You can dunk it in milk. You can dunk it in soda.
Yeah, but aren't they still dunkable if you eat it at the end of your slice? You don't have to save them to dunk them.
I'm saying if you savor it, like I do.
I don't understand.
Scott,
you're making breadsticks.
Scott, I don't just save it. I savor it.
Okay. You know what? Whatever you do with your pizza is absolutely okay. On the tour, people always ask me, what's the right way to eat this? Am I allowed to use a fork and knife? They think that there's a right and a wrong.
Right.
With pizza, you've just got to remember, cold cheese, saving your crust, there is no wrong answer. Pizza,
no rules.
No, pizza is... It's an open canvas upon which to paint any masterpiece.
The only thing I've seen you react negatively to is when Nunzio was talking about microwaving.
Yeah.
And the look on their face, the look on the face of this guy was like somebody had just put a mustache on the Mona Lisa.
He was hurt.
He was very upset by that whole
You're
thing.
You're messing with the molecules.
Don't use the M word. Microwave. Molecules
yeah.
are good.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for calling, Kel.
Scott's right, thanks, Pizza guys. Tours. See you, Kelly. ScottsPizzaTours.com. Check it out. They all jump on a bus in Soho. They grab a slice at Lombardi's or two slices or three, whatever.
Whatever we got room for.
People can stuff themselves or is there a limit? How's it work?
You're allotted one slice per stop because if you fill up at Lombardi's, which you're going to want to do, you're not going to have room when we get to Harlem or when we get to the Bronx.
You don't know me.
Okay. This is a challenge.
Throwing down the gauntlet.
All right.
You're drinking on a bus?
If I don't see it. No, there's no drinking on the bus.
Oh, drinking at the pizzerias.
You can drink in the pizzerias, absolutely.
Because you know what? The school bus is not restroom equipped.
No.
That's
no.
probably so true.
It's a school bus. They have rules. No spitting, no eating, no drinking.
Right. No riding in front of the white line while the coach is in motion.
Exactly. I'm the only one. I've graduated. I'm in front of the white line.
Hi, Renee. Right. What's up, baby?
Hey, I'm probably am breaking pizza etiquette, but I rip my crust off first and dip it in the grease that's on the top of the pizza.
Oh.
But then how do you pick it up? You don't go fork and knife,
No.
Do you?
Don't question
no,
it.
No fork and knife. You go about halfway through the first piece, and you get a half a piece of the crust, and you really soak up all that stuff. I've seen people take it off with napkins. That's just ridiculous. You have to eat that grease. It's there for a purpose.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good technique. I'm going to try that.
There is no breaking pizza etiquette.
Renee, thanks for calling on. All right, Rob, what's up? He's got a question for you, Scott.
Yes, how you doing, everybody? I was wondering, you know, I've lived in Kentucky, which is pizza hell. I've lived in Florida. I did 2 months in Virginia. What is the difference? How come you see places say New York-style pizza, New York-style pizza, and supposedly the guy is from New York? It's like they go to these different places of the country, and they forget what the hell they learned up here in New York or something like that. Is it a myth about the water, or is it ingredients? Do you find the same thing I do?
Well, first of all, a lot of people say that they have New York-style pizza, and all that's really meaning is that it's a thin crust style. It's a marketing technique that they throw New York up there. Most of them are not from New York. They don't have, in New York, there's a myth about the water. It's partially true just because the water treatment in New York is different from most other municipalities in that they add a little bit less chlorine. It doesn't go through as many electronic pumps because the water actually flows down. The Croton Reservoir is where we get most of the water in New York, and it's at a higher altitude.
Mm-hmm.
So gravity brings that water down into the city, not a ton of pumps. So there are a lot of differences with the water. But for the most part, saying New York style is, it's a marketing method. And sometimes you'll get good stuff. But you'll very rarely get something that really follows New York style pizza.
That pizza in Kentucky is so bad you pretty much got to wipe your backside with it first just to make it taste better.
You know what? It's really funny. Yeah, actually, Louisville, Kentucky is the home of Pizza Today magazine, one of my favorite trade industry magazines for pizza.
Pizza Today.
Yeah, and they're
look at that centerfold.
Yeah. Move. Tell them to move.
I actually brought a couple of copies for you guys of Pizza Magazine, so you can take them home. Read them on the can.
That's good looking out, Scott. ScottsPizzaTours.com. Hi, Bill. What's up?
Hello.
What's up, baby?
Yeah, the pizza joint I go to, the guy puts a lot of oil on it. And everybody, what they do, they're throwing mozzarella on there, they're throwing anything, Romano cheese, anything that's grated or it soaks up oil so it don't run down your arm. That's what a cold cheese. That's what they do that.
Oh, so it's basically like cat litter on your greasy floor.
Yeah, it's like a mechanic.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, babe, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think the caller was talking about shredded mozzarella, not a hard cheese.
Right. Yeah.
Putting the hard cheese on is not, the purpose is not to soak up the oil. It's actually to put a contrast to the mozzarella. Because those hard cheeses are salty and nutty, where the mozzarella is kind of smooth. So there is a reason behind it.
My thing with the Parmesan was always kind of like to soak up the oil.
Yeah, but that's I like you, because some people drip off the oil to get rid of it. No.
Nah.
We pour on some more stuff to soak it up, so we keep it, but we don't see it.
So it stays.
Yeah.
Now, are the pizza people putting oil on the pizza, or is that coming out of the cheese?
Well, it depends on where you go. If a place is using an aged mozzarella cheese, then it's usually packed with salt and oils and things to preserve it while it's on the grocery store shelf. And when you bake it, that's where the sauce comes up. That's when you get orange cheese. If you've got a white cheese, which is
a
fresh mozzarella, you'll see them drizzle on extra virgin olive oil on top. And that's all on purpose, and it's absolutely exquisite.
Mm.
How you doing there, Jason?
How you doing?
What's up, baby? What you got?
The reason they put the cold cheese on top of the hot pizza, so the drunk kids don't burn the roof of their mouth.
You know what? You might be onto something.
You know, seriously,
that's probably it.
Pizza burn is a really important issue, and I don't want people getting pizza burn out there. But that's a result of the processed mozzarella leaking out the oil. You're not going to get that at Lombardi's where they use a fresh mozzarella. You're only going to get it where there's a lot of oil on top. But the way to avoid that is you just have to wait. Okay, I understand the drunk kid thing, but if you do get pizza burn, toss an ice cube in your mouth and press it to the roof of your mouth with your tongue, and it'll cure it.
I had like a third degree case of pizza burn one. That's just like the nastiest thing when your whole mouth is like a blister.
I once had a 2-week streak without it. Yeah, that was like great.
Yeah, 2-week streak without pizza
without
burn.
Pizza burn. It ended last week.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't learn my lesson.
Hey, Noah, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to ask Scott, have you tried a couple of the pizza places in our area up here?
You know, I haven't tried them. I drove up last night and they were all closed by the time I got up.
Well, if you get it, there's one place that. You know, I'm from New York, and I moved up here to go to culinary, and, you know, our days we try whatever foods we can because we're bored. Try A Touch of Naples. They don't deliver. You have to go there.
That's where John's
the place we told you. We're
John's
friends with
taking
those.
Scott there
we
after
love
the
them.
Show.
Are they open at 10?
Yeah. Well, they'll be there
if we call them, they will.
All right, I'm going right now.
They get up there. Chris and Mario, they get up there. Two Albanian brothers. Pizza's off the hook.
Slices are the size of your head.
They are. Yeah. Have you had the salad pizza up there?
No, I haven't.
Oh,
I just go for the nice pepperoni slice. That's all I eat is pepperoni slices. I don't like
fancy I'll tell you, this is one of those things. You took me there like when we first, it's like one of our first dates.
Yeah.
John took me to.
Well, I was going there when Joe had it.
Classy date, pizza.
But it was amazing. That pizza over there is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you have a good pizza trivia question?
Oh, really?
Because I have a pair of passes for one of your tours here. A pair of tickets on the tour.
Good tour. Yeah, I've got a pizza trivia question.
I'd like to give like a pizza trivia question out for the folks at home.
All right.
Yeah, sure. I wonder if anybody knows when the first pizzeria was licensed in the United States of America.
First licensed pizzeria. And we've actually covered this information in the interview,
really?
Didn't we?
Maybe we did. Yeah. What is the name of the pizzeria, the first pizzeria in the country, and when? What year was it licensed?
All right, 471-WPDH. Hop on the line. Hi, PDH. Who's this?
Hey, Jack. Listen, I'm going to answer the question. I just want to ask him, what's the optimum temperature to make a pie?
It depends on what all of your ingredients are, but for the most part, around 800 degrees is going to get you the crispy crust and the right melt on the cheese.
Really? Is that hot?
Yeah, 800 degrees.
Any frozen pizza ever in your freezer?
Like a
Del Giorno type of thing, just for convenience sake?
I am an Ilio's fan, and I will always be an Ilio's fan.
Yeah.
Me too, I like Ilio's.
It's comfort food. It's what I like.
Well, it's easy to dress.
It's comfort food. It's what I like.
It's easy to dress it up, too, to throw a little extra cheese.
That's the thing.
Out.
I love that. Yeah, I love adding cheese, and you put some little chicken, whatever's left over.
You know, like what I'll do, too, is like if I want mushrooms on my pizza, I'll take some fresh mushrooms, zap them for a couple seconds, soften them down so you get that cooked mushroom feel.
See, the beauty of this is that this is how pizza started in the first place. It was leftover scraps of everything thrown on top of some dough. And that was it. It was it was the food of using up the leftover scraps, and that's what we're doing.
And you said the sauce was added later, right? Sauce didn't come around for a while.
Yeah. Sauce didn't really enter Italian cuisine until much later. You know, it was brought over from the Americas in the 1500s.
It was done as a tribute to the flag with the red, the white, the green.
Yeah. There's a little bit longer story. The margherita pizza, which is what I brought from Lombardi's in Soho, is a it's the white. Of the Italian flag is the white, green, and red, and it's the white of the fresh mozzarella, the green basil, and the red tomato sauce.
Yeah. Hi, PDH, who's this?
Hey, it's Kathy.
All right, Kathy, here's your trivia question one more time.
All right, Kathy, what is the first pizzeria in the country, and in what year was it licensed?
Is it Lombardi's, and was it in 1905?
Yes.
Right there.
Oh, wow.
Very nice.
But I have an extra bonus question. I don't know if there are any more prizes left for you, but... what year did Lombardi's actually open?
Ooh.
Because it was a grocery store before it was licensed.
1920?
That's after it was licensed as a pizzeria. So we're gonna go ahead and take back your prize.
No,
I'm just kidding. No, it actually opened in 1897 as a grocery store.
Oh,
yeah, and it didn't convert into a pizzeria until 1904.
I want to get this guy, Mr. Skin, together.
Yeah, we should.
I don't like the sounds of Mr. Skin.
Anyway, that's Scott. You have a last name?
It's Wiener.
Scott Wiener from
Scott. You got to change it to pizza.
True. No, it's not going to happen.
Scott from Scott's Pizza Tour, as you make your way down to Soho, you're right in front of Lombardi's, you have a slice, you jump on a bus, and he's selected out of the 3,000 pizza places in New York City. He selected the top half a dozen or so in his estimation. He wants you to try them all out. He'll tell you all about the pie. You enjoy yourselves with some friends and family and knock off a day.
Yes, indeed. We're going to be back in just a couple. Scott, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
Fascinating interview. All right, we're going to be back in a couple. Hang around, kids. Coop and Tobin, good morning. See you.